Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about backsliding Israel, and we'll be looking in the book of Hosea, chapter 4. So if you'd like to follow along this morning, you can take your Bible at this time and turn to the first of the minor prophets, the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and I'll be reading some verses in just a little bit from that chapter. The book of Hosea, chapter 4. And there are several things in this chapter about backsliding Israel that I want us to notice this morning. The first thing that's going to be presented is that they, in the land, there was no knowledge of God. And let me just read now verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and by lying, by killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. It was a bad time in Israel at this time. Now, at this particular time, the kingdom has been divided. And we'll say a little bit more about this a little bit later in the chapter. But this is during the time in which there was the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, and then there's the southern kingdom of Judah, the southern tribe, the 2 tribes. And this is about the northern kingdom. Hosea is speaking to that kingdom up north that is departing from God. And here he says, and in these verses, you'll notice two things that you have here. You have irreligion, no knowledge of God. Truth and mercy and the knowledge of God have forsaken the land. And then you have moral decay. The two go together. They always go together. And one of the significant things that we can learn as we look at these verses is just to kind of notice how they really do go together. So in verse 1, he talks about no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And the natural outgrowth of that is the next verse, by swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. And then he says that they break out. Now, there's some different ideas as what it could mean, the breaking out like the breaking out of floodwaters, or it could be the breaking in the sense of robbers breaking in. But either way you look at it, it's the idea that immorality has just broken out all over the land. There's no knowledge of God. Truth is not there. And so lying and committing adultery and stealing, that's just broken out all over the country, all over the land. And he further says that blood touches blood. And I look back in 2 Kings, during this time, during a period of just a couple of decades, there were at least 3 assassinations and a number of other different killings that are listed there, where one king would rule and rule for 6 months, somebody would kill him, he'd become king, and I think the next one ruled a month and got killed. And then later, there was some more killing. It was a bad time in Israel. But the point to notice is that it was irreligion, it was the lack of a knowledge of God that went with this moral decay. Now, these verses are about ancient Israel. But if we had read them today and as not being about ancient Israel, but we just said, now I'm reading a description of our world in which we live, I might have had to change the wording just a little bit, but I could have presented the basic thrust of that passage and you would have known that I was describing our world. That's the world we live in. And a lot of us that have lived, most of us that have lived a good many years in this world, we have seen kind of what happened in our lifetime. We have seen the forsaking of religion, more so now than, say, a few decades back. We have seen the forsaking of religion. Man turning it, the nation turning its back on religion. And then we have seen, follow in the wake of that, the moral decay. And it happened in that order. And it's always true. When the knowledge of God leaves a people, their moral standards leave with it. Not necessarily at the same time, but very soon after that. We've seen that in our lifetime. And Hosea saw it in the nation of Israel. And those people who look at the moral decay of our world and want to correct it without religion, they labor in vain because the two go together. If you're not well grounded in religion, then there's really no foundation for strong moral standards. And so as we read this, we're talking about backsliding Israel, but this is really true of our nation. Then the second thing that I wanted to notice is that, and it's very similar, but in verse 6, it's the idea that the people perish for a lack of knowledge. And let me just read verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. Destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. One of the things on TV that I like, and I'm sure we've all seen this, I like it where the screen is there and this thing comes up and there it is, the more you know. And that's to me, that's a very impressive commercial, the more you know. And of course, they're emphasizing, I guess, just secular education, and what they're saying is true. You know, the more you know, everything else being equal at least, the more successful you can be in this world. But of course, I think of it in a religious sense. This is what the prophet is talking about, the need for knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But then, of course, we have to hasten to say, as he says a little bit later in the verse, he's talking about they have forgotten the law of God. So we're not talking about just any kind of knowledge here in this text. We're talking about knowledge of God's Word and of His will. There are a lot of well-educated people in our day that know nothing of the law of God, almost nothing. It's amazing. It's amazing that people can get college degrees, sometimes doctorate degrees. And if you start talking to them about the Bible, how little they know. And the surveys that have been conducted about the knowledge that people have, informed people have about Scripture, shows that there is generally speaking, in our nation, there is a great lack of knowledge of God's Word. And so again, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Hosea was talking about that northern ancient kingdom of Israel. But that could be said of our nation too. Lack of knowledge. But now there's something here that he points out. This is very interesting. You know, as I read that, suddenly he said something about the priest. There will be priests to me no more. And then the next few verses, if you read on, you'll see more about that. And what he's saying, what he's showing, especially as you read the next few verses, what he's showing is that the people lacked the true knowledge of God, and it was the priests. It was the religious leaders' fault. They're the ones that had failed to teach and misled the people. And you know, I guess that's always the case. It's certainly something that we can see is true in our world. Do you know who has led the attack against the Bible? Now, of course, atheists and infidels and unbelievers have done some of that. But it is religious teachers and leaders in our world and in Europe, particularly, and then it came to this country. It's the religious leaders that have led the attack on the Bible. Not the unbelievers, but those that are supposed to be teaching the Word. That's what's happened in our world. And to a greatest extent, that's true with regard to immoral teachings. A lot of times it is the religious teachers that began to lead people away from some very basic moral standards. Something kind of shocking that I heard, it's been, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But in this town, in one of the prominent local denominations in this town, the preacher advised a young couple who were engaged and going to get married later, advised them to go ahead and sleep together, see if they're compatible. Now, that happened right here in Winston-Salem. And that was happening back in ancient Israel, not necessarily the same advice. But back in ancient Israel, Hosea is saying, my people are perishing for a lack of understanding of the law of God. They're being led into all kinds of immoral practices. And it's the religious leaders, not all of them, of course, not Hosea, but it's the religious leaders that are teaching people wrong. And so it is in our world today. Then in verse 10, at the end of the verse, he kind of caps this basic idea off by saying, they have left off to take heed to the Lord. People are just not real concerned about what God wants. Even in religion, What people are concerned about is what they want and what will help them. Not so much about what is God's will and what does God really want. And that was happening. That was a part of the backsliding in Israel. Then the next thing I want to notice is in verse 11, and this concerns the taking away of the heart. And I found this verse very interesting. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Maybe some of your translations will say, take the understanding away. And that's the idea. Now, this is something that we, I guess all of us know from seeing others and from our own experiences. We can really appreciate the truth of this, particularly with regard to wine and new wine, taking away the heart. People just do stupid things under the influence of alcohol. A good many years ago, in the city in which I lived at that time, I went visiting one day, and I went by this house, and as I drove up, there was a brand new car sitting out front. Nice car. And I went in and got into talking to the man, and he had just bought the car just that weekend. The strange thing about it is, and I knew this, the strange thing about it is, he didn't have a driver's license. They'd been revoked. He couldn't drive. And his wife didn't drive. And he finally told me that he bought the car for his daughter. She was 2 years away from driving. He had been drunk that weekend. And under the influence of alcohol, he'd done the heart, his understanding had been taken away. Now, when he was talking to me, he was trying to rationalize it and excuse himself. But that's what this is about. But actually, it wouldn't be so bad. Alcohol and its influence on people would not be so bad if that's all they would do is go out and waste their money buying a new car when they didn't really need it or it was food. That wouldn't be really a problem. But you know, people become very lascivious and lustful and drop their moral standards when they come under the influence of alcohol. And you know, you do not have to be falling down drunk. A couple of beers will do it. We've all been around people who've had a couple of beers and seen the change between the way they were and after they drank a couple of beers and how that began to loosen them up, loosen the tongue. It happens. And many people drop their moral standards. Others do not drop their moral standards necessarily in that sense, but they become very abusive. And I don't need to recount all the different things that happen to people, to many people when they've just had a small amount even to drink. That's what this is about. Wine and new wine take away the heart. And people are just different. A lot of people do this deliberately. They drink because they want that feeling. They want their heart taken away so they can do things that they normally would not do. And so that's very clearly presented in this passage. It's something that we've all seen and experienced. But now there's more to this. And I checked on this because there is a little difference in the translation, but I checked on it enough to be pretty firm that the translations that include in this whoredom or adultery and fornication, that type of thing, that's the proper way of translating that. So it's not only wine and new wine, but you know that sexual immorality will take away your heart, your understanding. It will mess up your moral sensibilities. You won't be if you engage in immoral activities of that nature, you will lose some of that sensitivity of heart to be able to judge right and wrong. That's what this is saying. And we can see it very clearly in a person who's under the influence of alcohol. But the text is saying, I wouldn't know this except that the Bible tells me this, that whoredom or sexual immorality will also do it, and I guess we might say in a more subtle, less obvious way, it will take away the heart or the understanding. And I would never figure that out. I could figure the one out about wine. I've seen that. I'd never figured that out if the Bible had not told me that that was the case. But then again, as we look, there's one other thing that I want to notice in this passage. And that is that Judah is told to stand clear. Now, as I've just said, at this particular time in the history of Israel, there's two kingdoms. It's been divided. There's the northern kingdom of Israel, and all that we've said, all that's said in this text, has been about that northern kingdom. They went away from God first. And then there's the southern kingdom. And in the next few verses, Hosea kind of, I guess we'd say, pauses in the middle of his sermon to the northern kingdom and says, now I have something to say to Judah, to the southern kingdom. And he says, you know, stand clear. That's at least the way I put it. But let me read verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, Yet let not Judah offend. Come not unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, and swear the Lord liveth. And then again down in verse 17, Ephraim, and that of course is another name for the northern kingdom of Israel. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. In other words, the prophet has denounced Israel and showed all the problems there, and they're backsliding away from God. Then he turns to Judah and he says, don't follow in their steps. Stand clear of there. Stay away from that. Don't get involved. It's true, he says, that Israel has played the harlot. Ephraim has gone after idols. But he says, let not Judah offend. Then he kind of breaks that down. He says, don't go to Gilgal nor to Bethaven. That's the new name for Bethel. This is where they did their idol worshiping. Israel did, the northern kingdom. And so he says to Judah, he says, you see what Israel's done? Don't follow their steps. Don't do that. Don't go and worship the idols as they have done. And then he adds this. This is very important. And swear the Lord liveth. Well, it looks like that'd be a good thing to say the Lord liveth. The problem was they were still in the northern kingdom. They were still claiming allegiance to Jehovah while they went into these false religious practices. That's what was happening. And Judah then is warned, don't follow in their steps. And there's a great lesson for us in that today. One lesson is, you know, we look at our world and we see the world turning to that things that are immoral. Let's don't follow them. Don't follow the world in that immorality. And that, of course, is something that's emphasized over and over again in the New Testament. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 2. Or don't fashion yourselves according to your former lust. 1 Peter chapter 1. And those and other passages of Scripture in the New Testament are warning us the same warning that's here to Judah. Saying, don't look at others who are involved in evil and don't fall in their pathway, but stand clear. And so we can learn a great lesson here from not following the world in that which is immoral. I think we can also learn a lesson here with regard to churches. You know, even today there are churches of Christ that are defecting from the faith. They're doing really what ancient Israel was doing, trying to be more like their contemporaries rather than being interested in the law of God. That's happening. We need to stand clear of that. Others will do it. It's always happening. It's always happening. The ancient Israelites here in this passage, they're saying the Lord liveth. But they're following the religious practices of the contemporaries. And there are people today who are claiming to be loyal to God. But rather than following the plain teachings of the New Testament, they're interested in following the denominational world in some of the modern things. And the warning for us today should be the same as the warning to Judah. As you watch others go away from that plain teaching of the Scripture, stand clear. Let's not follow in those things. And so in this passage we see backsliding Israel. And what happened then is nothing unique to that time. It happened before then, and it continues to happen since then. And every one of us need to read and take warning that we do not backslide or fall away from the Lord. Might be that there's a person here this morning who is not a Christian. We still teach the same basic thing in becoming a Christian that God's Word has always taught. You need to believe in God and in Christ. Put your faith there. Repent of your sins, which means that you make that decision that you're going to turn from what's evil in your life and do that which is right. And then after you've confessed your faith, you need to be buried in baptism for the remission of sins.